Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring interviews with vegans locally, nationally, and internationally to promote health and freedom for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. Let's start out this program with this beautiful song, To Be Free, by Will Tuttle. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Will Tuttle. Dr. Tuttle is the author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. And he's also a world-renowned pianist and composer. Thank you very much, Will, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. I'm delighted to be with you, and thanks, everyone, for listening in.
Well, this is very special, and I want to say how much I appreciate all your work. And for this interview, I'd like to focus on your article, Honoring Mothers and Ending Slavery.
Right. Yes, I wrote that article a few years ago, and it's especially appropriate, I think, right now with Mother's Day right around the corner.
Okay, so what I'd like to do for the interview is to read your great work in this article, Honoring Mothers and Ending Slavery, and then have a further discussion about it.
Great, I'm happy to do that.
Okay, so this is Honoring Mothers and Ending Slavery, published May 10th, 2019 by Dr. Will Tuttle. Quote, a disturbing trend over the past couple of decades is the ongoing proliferation of human trafficking and slavery. It's well known that de facto slavery conditions exist in a number of industries, such as for children on cocoa plantations in Africa and carpet clothing and electronics factories in India and elsewhere. Men on fishing boats in Southeast Asia, and millions of women and children in the sex slave trade internationally, including in the U.S. and Europe. Researchers studying the problem reports that there are vast sex trafficking rings throughout the U.S. that prey especially on children, and that the problem is underreported and difficult to stop due to corruption and profiteering in law enforcement and the courts, as well as in governmental agencies that deal with children. According to a recent study reported in USA Today, youth and child sex slaves are forced to have sex on average over five times daily, and there are hundreds of thousands of adults who are buying sex with children and who are rarely brought to trial. In a recent case, a man who was arrested was asked about his conscience and if he felt any remorse for the terrible damage that he was causing children by buying and having sex with them. His response was telling. Quote, I don't want to know how the sausage is made, end quote. Years ago, I wrote an article titled The Most Pervasive Form of Child Abuse, published in the June 2001 issue of Veg News before it was a magazine, contending that being compelled as children to eat the flesh and secretions of animals not only harms us physically, but psychologically and morally as well. With every meal, we're consuming a narrative of materialism, reductionism, and exploitation of the weak by the strong. The subtext is, don't make the connection. Stay shallow and don't see deeply, feel deeply, or care deeply. It's just an object, a burger, an egg, a breast, a wing, a piece of cheese. We are all profoundly wounded by being born and raised in a culture organized around animal agriculture, which is, at its core, a relentless and ritualized sexual attack on the sacred feminine dimension of life, specifically on females, mothers, and offspring. The core practice of animal agriculture is forcibly impregnating females and sexually abusing and killing the beings who are the result of raping them. This is happening millions of times daily. It's the hidden dark side of our culture. We are compelled from infancy to not only participate and pay for this, and thus cause this ongoing tsunami of sexual violence, but also to then actually eat it and routinely feed it to our unsuspecting children. This injects them with the same toxins and wounds that have been perverting us and hijacking our awareness for generations now, driving 10,000 years of war and patriarchal oppression. The wisdom at the heart of world spiritual traditions is basically unanimous. Whatever we sow, we will reap. How can we ever expect that we as human beings are worthy of a culture that is free of slavery and the sexual trafficking and abuse of women and children when we are enslaving billions of non-human animals and sexually abusing the females and their offspring? It's well understood that all the female cows, pigs, chickens, turkeys, ducks, geese, sheep, goats, and other animals who are imprisoned for food and other products are forced into pregnancy on what the industry terms the rape rack, when they are mere children in human terms. Cutting costs in every way possible, the industry minimizes feed costs by manipulating young females into early pregnancy through drugs, hormones, and selective breeding. Our efforts to curb and stop human trafficking are merely ironic in the face of the massive industrialized and invisibilized trafficking of animals that pervades and defines our culture. Going vegan and understanding the deep connections between animal abuse and human abuse is a significant contribution to the healing and resolution of the human slavery and trafficking problems that causes untold misery and suffering in our world. Until we publicly proclaim and explain these connections and they become part of our social conversation, we will never make meaningful progress in our quest for justice and respect in our human world. Eating and buying animal foods and products always requires trafficking and sexual abuse of animals on both small backyard operations as well as on large-scale factory farms. This injustice permeates every cell of animal flesh, cheese, wool, leather, and egg, and screams for our attention to wake us up from the cultural trance into which we've been indoctrinated and to heal the traumatic wounds that have been inflicted on us by animal agriculture. The vulnerable animals and children always bear the brunt of the full fury of our desensitization and delusion. There is only one way forward. Human liberation is impossible without animal liberation. There will never be any human justice without justice for animals. The fact that in the thousands of pages of writing about human trafficking and sexual abuse of women and children, there is virtually no mention of the propelling force, the massive trafficking and sexual abuse of animals, demonstrates how deluded, indoctrinated, and blinded we are by our culture's food rituals. It's long past time to speak up and embody the truth of compassion and justice for all living beings and for all mothers and all the children of all species, so that we are finally worthy as a species to live in greater harmony on this beautiful and beleaguered earth. This Mother's Day, let's remember the millions of animal mothers whose babies are stolen and killed to be eaten and used. And let's reflect on the ongoing trafficking and sexual abuse of men, women, and children in our culture, and discuss these connections with our friends and family. Slavery begets more slavery. Freedom requires us to question the indoctrinated narratives justifying our exploitation of animals and to do our best to embody kindness and respect for all. We can all contribute our voices and actions and help build the positive future for all beings that is beckoning. The article that I just read is called Honoring Mothers and Ending Slavery, written by Dr. Will Tuttle, published on May 10th, 2019. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Nara, in Massachusetts. We're joined by Dr. Will Tuttle.
So I'll go ahead and just say that, you know, the main idea here, really, just briefly, is that animal agriculture is really the core of our society. It's everywhere. We don't talk about it that much. We're not that aware of it. But most of the people in our society, the overwhelming majority, are eating the flesh of animals, as well as dairy products and eggs, which come from, obviously, from female animals. And we don't think about it too much, but what the consequences of that are really is tremendous suffering for these animals. And according to what I write about in the World Peace Diet, my book, there's what I refer to as the boomerang effect, which is that the suffering that we're inflicting on these animals, the slavery and the sexual abuse really is what is required, that it also comes back to us in many ways. So the old golden rule, you know, which is the core of all the world's religions, really is important. It points to the truth that we are called now more than ever to treat other living beings with kindness and respect, because our violence towards them is, we can see it all around us, is boomeranging back on us as slavery of various kinds, indoctrination, and the loss of our basic freedoms, as well as oppression and exploitation and disease and conflict and war. So our war against animals has really been mainly a war against female animals. That's something I think most people don't realize, that when we started actually engaging in animal agriculture, when we started herding animals going back about 10,000 years ago to the area that is now Iraq and Syria, that area, we started to own animals as property for food, well, sheep and goats, and then cows, and then other animals. And it was really the breeding of these animals that was the core practice. It was owning them and killing them, right, for their flesh. But also, none of that would work without actually breeding them. And the very first science, very interestingly enough, actually, was human beings figuring out how to breed animals in ways that would maximize their milk and meat production, as well as wool and so forth, other things. So, and animals that would be more docile and easier to control. So this foundation of science from the very beginning was based on the domination and exploitation of female animals. And I think really in many ways it's the foundation of what we see happening in our world right now. We have a tremendous amount of money and resources going into what we call science, which is in many ways an attempt to predict and control and dominate nature and create technologies that supposedly give us comfort, and in some ways they do, but they can also be used for surveillance and for violence in various ways. So I think it's really important now more than ever to look deeply into animal agriculture and into what we're doing to female animals, and especially to the mothers, you know, that beautiful capacity that female animals have to bring forth new offspring, and then to nurse and nurture them and so forth. That's the very core of what we dominate and violate and abuse. And I think at a deep level, we don't want to think about it. We don't want to think about the sexual violence of impregnating cows on rape racks and of then stealing their babies as soon as they're born, and typically killing them most of the time because there's no really use for them, and then impregnating them again for dairy products or for meat. If they're going to be raised for animals, going to be raised for meat, then they're usually killed after a very short time when they're still just very young, like children in human terms. So this is a tremendous amount of violence to be causing and eating every day. We're talking about millions and millions of times every day, just in the United States alone. It's the background of our entire society. We don't just pay for it with our wallets. We actually eat it and feed it to our children. And so I don't think we realize the tremendous price, not only that the animals pay, the tremendous suffering, emotional suffering and physical pain and misery that they endure, being confined and sexually abused and so forth, but the suffering we cause ourselves and the disharmony in our relationships with each other and with nature and among the people in our society. So if we want to create peace on this beautiful earth, we really can. That's the beautiful, wonderful truth. And we just are called to follow the golden rule, to give to others what we would like to have for ourselves. So that's the main idea, Marlene, that I'd like to share. And we can go more deeply into it, but that's the main idea.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. I know when you explain it and how you first presented it in the World Peace Diet, it is so easy to understand and to witness and to make the connection. And so it's so bizarre to me that in 2023, so many still aren't seeing it or aren't making the connection.
Yeah, you're right, Marlene. That's the amazing thing. You know, it's really very simple, like you say, and it's really quite obvious when you think about it. No female mammal just gives milk for no reason, right? So this is really the core of our society for animals that are used for food. If it's dairy cows, it's the same thing. If it's pigs or cows for beef or for so-called meat, for flesh, it's always the same thing. The babies are stolen, and the female, like in the case of breeding sows, they're impregnated over and over again. Very often they're confined, and we inflict that upon them. So I remember reading Carl Jung. He said that virtually all of the evil in the world is due to people being unconscious. You know, it's not that we're consciously evil. It's just that we're asleep. We're not aware. We don't know we'd rather not know in many cases. And it's that unconsciousness that really, I think, should set off alarm bells in our heads to make us think, wait a minute, do I really want to take out my wallet and pay for someone to abuse an animal so severely that they're driven into insanity, and then go ahead and eat that abuse and feed it to my children? You know, it's really the worst possible thing that we can do to other living beings and to ourselves. If we understood it, we would never do it. So it's this unconsciousness. So I really want to thank you, Marlene, for just courageously and persistently allowing people to at least be aware and more conscious of the relationships that we have with nature and with the animals, and how it's unnecessary. That's the beautiful thing. I've been a vegan now for 43 years. So here, you know, for 43 years, and my wonderful wife, Madeline, also. And so for 40 years, we've been not eating any animal flesh or eggs or dairy products or honey or any of these things that come from animals. And it's the greatest, most wonderful thing. There's no downside of any kind, because we're healthier, much, much healthier than the average person our age. And we're much happier, I'm sure. I mean, it's just a foundation of joy and harmony and peace and a sense of solidarity with animals and with the earth. And we see the beauty of the earth around us. It's like Dostoevsky said when he stopped eating meat. He was looking at some fish in a little pond, and he said, "Ah, now at last I can look at you in peace. I'm not eating you anymore." That's really how it is. When we are a source of violence towards other beings, it really hurts us tremendously. It shuts down our natural empathy, our natural wisdom, our intelligence, our compassion. We're forced to go numb and disconnect. And then when that happens, it's easy for us to be controlled. We're willing to go along with mandates to take away our freedom and to elect officials who enslave us. Because as we enslave, so shall we be enslaved. Whatever we sow, we shall reap. This is the truth of the Golden Rule and the truth of really all the world's wisdom traditions.
This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Tuttle. Welcome back from the break. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Arrow in Massachusetts. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Will Tuttle. We're discussing his recent article, Honoring Mothers and Ending Slavery.
And so I think all of us, especially those of us who are mothers, but all of us, really, we have that mothering capacity. I call it, in the World Peace Diet, Sophia. Sophia was the ancient Greek goddess of wisdom, and that represents this inner wisdom that we all have to love and nurture and protect life. And so we're raised in a society where we're taught to suppress Sophia, but all of us can resurrect Sophia, especially now during this time, the springtime, Mother's Day, and seeing what's going on in the world around us, how the domination of the feminine is being rolled out in so many different ways through the transhumanist agenda and all these other agendas that really make a real mockery in many ways of human beings and turn us into a parody of what we really are. We're basically loving and kind and caring people, beings, we are. It's just that we're born into a society with an obsolete food orientation that requires us from the time we're little kids to sit at the table and eat the flesh and secretions of these horribly abused animals. And so we just learn the same way our parents learned and our grandparents learned and our great-grandparents learned to shut down our hearts and not care about these animals and to shut down our minds and not make the connections. So that works very well for the tiny elite who gets rich on war and disease and environmental devastation, but it's really not a good idea for us and for our children, and especially now when it's so important for us to be more aware and more conscious and more connected with the inner wisdom that is always shining in our hearts. So thanks again, Marlene, for being a voice, and thanks everyone for thinking about the consequences of our spending. The dollars that we spend really are votes that we cast, and they're always counted. And so if I'm voting for animal flesh or for dairy products or for eggs, I'm voting for violence, sexual violence, abuse of males and females, especially females. And it's unnecessary. All the nutrients that we need to thrive and celebrate our lives are in plants. And this has been well documented. And it's really a fantastic good news that we've all been given this wonderful gift of a physical body that does not require any animals to suffer to get all of the nutrients that we need to celebrate our lives on this beautiful planet. So thanks, everyone, for caring. So instead of being part of the problem and not realizing it, we can awaken and be part of the solution. And then I think really just share these ideas with each other, with other people. And the more we do that, the more we create the foundation for a world of justice and freedom for all of us. So thank you so much again, Marlene, for helping to shine the light of understanding into this most important subject.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. I have two more questions for you in this interview. One is, would you please talk a little bit about the laboratory animals?
It's millions of animals who are confined and born and raised in vivisection, basically, which is to be killed and typically tortured is really the proper word. I mean, they're really horribly abused. It's all kinds of animals. It's mice and dogs and ferrets and monkeys and many different animals that are abused this way. And it's very often for household products. It's also, of course, for pharmaceuticals. The pharmaceutical industry kills millions of animals every year in testing for various medications and drugs. That's one of the reasons it's so important to be proactive and take responsibility for our health so that we don't have to buy or use any pharmaceuticals, because they're all tested on animals. They all cause terrible suffering to animals. Many of them have animal tissues and so forth in them, animal ingredients, animal source ingredients. And so this whole thing is based on a huge delusion. It's based, of course, on an underlying system that makes money off of the slavery of animals. It's an animal slave trade, not only for food, but also for experimentation. And so the governmental agencies require animal testing in order to approve the drugs. And so this continues on, even though animals are very different from us. And the irony, of course, is that these are healthy animals, and what we do is we inflict disease upon them, and then we pour all kinds of poisons into them, and we force them into extreme pain and suffering in doing so, and hyperconfinement and all kinds of things, and experimentation, really diabolical things. And is that decreasing the amount of disease we have? Absolutely not. So the whole idea, again, is as you sow, so shall you reap. If we're going to insist on inflicting disease and misery on other living beings, we are never going to reap health, ever. We're going to reap more disease, and that's where the money is. They don't want people that are healthy. I haven't spent one penny on medications for the pharmaceutical industry in the 43 years I've been a vegan, and that's their worst nightmare. They want people who are sick, and so that's the whole system. It's based on maximizing profit, which means maximizing disease, maximizing suffering to animals and to humans, and controlling and capturing the media and the education of doctors and governmental agencies, and with all the money that is being made by the pharmaceutical medical complex, it's not difficult for them to control the narratives. So it's very important to provide an alternative. And thank you for doing that, Marlene.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. And the other question is, I would love to hear some of your story with you and Madeline at the Peace Abbey in Massachusetts with Emily, the cow, and also Madeline's beautiful painting titled To Be Free that was inspired by Emily.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, Emily was a cow that was at a slaughterhouse in Massachusetts, and she jumped over a 6-foot fence there at the slaughterhouse and was able to escape, actually, from the slaughterhouse personnel and ran into the forest. And it was in the winter, and I guess she was able to stay pretty much free. They couldn't catch her for quite a few months in the forest. She found companionship with deer. And at one point, though, she, they found her, and then the people at the Peace Abbey in Sherburn, I think it is, they said, "Listen, we'll provide sanctuary for her," and they were allowed to do that. And so she became an ambassador for all the cows who were killed in slaughterhouses. People would visit her all the time, and we visited her for many years until she finally passed away. So Madeline was inspired to paint a painting of a cow as part of her series on of original art that celebrates the beauty of nature and animals.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tuttle, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Now here's a short clip from Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen.
Here we are in our rolling home, and we'll make some oat milk.
Ooh.
So oat here milk. We have the oats.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
And I poured this, about this much oat in there. This is the soya bella. And this is a cup, so I can put some filtered water.
You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, Massachusetts.
And this will just rest till tomorrow. And in the morning, we will go on. We're back in our intuitive kitchen. And here we have the soaked oats.
Oh, yes, looks
and
delicious.
And we'll pour the water out. Mm-hmm. And they're nice and big, actually.
Yeah, they're really swelled up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is the soya bella.
I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're closing out today's show with Madeline Tuttle. And Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen, where she's making oat milk.
Keeps it fresh, like, wow, look at that. That's a lot of milk. It's amazing. This much milk probably costs 25 cents. At the
yeah,
most.
Very little. I will pour a little bit in here.
You can hear this program again at wcuw.org/veganation, as well as vegansradio.wordpress.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management.
White mustache.
Great.
All right. So it's easy to make. You see, it only takes a few minutes, and it's very inexpensive, and it's really healthy and delicious.
All organic, vegan, and sustainable.
Yeah, I invite you. We both invite you.
This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a good day.